It's Monday, March 22nd, 2004. This is Sean Kennedy. I'm at my home grid doing yet more research on a whole multitude of things that I previously thought were kept secret. I've been thinking a lot about freedom lately. I've been thinking about what it means to be free. Is it something that we think? Do we think we're free? You know, we live in a free society. The word freedom is being thrown around a lot. You see it on live free or die trying, or live ride free, do this free, that free. What does freedom mean? The land of the free. Software isn't free. Ideas aren't free. People's thoughts are no longer free. No material is free. Wireless transmission isn't free. You've got to license everything. Everything is taxed. What's left that's free? You and me, are we free? Are we free people? Can we just call ourselves free? Can we get up and move where we wanted to? We've always got free choice, right? I guess freedom does mean choice. But we live in a society now that all of our choices are, you know, pre-digested. You can either live in a condo or a townhouse. You choose. That's the freedom of living in America. You know? That's if you don't choose to live in an apartment. Well, I'd like to live in a house, actually. Oh, well, you don't have enough money. Money. The means of which man enslaves his brother. I hate money. I've always hated money. Rotten with the stuff. I get a hold of it and, you know, I've got so many things that I want that it's gone before I have any of it. There's toxic food stations that pump me so full of calories and empty carbs and, you know, the worst kind of fats imaginable. I'm putting on weight. It's difficult. It's difficult to, you know, what does all this freedom mean? Can we stand any more freedom? Or maybe we're off track here. Maybe there's a few basic fundamental freedoms that we're missing here, that we're not thinking about. Like, things in the animal kingdom, for example, they're free for sure. Things that are born in the wild, they're free. They are free to defend themselves. By any means they see fit, they are allowed to defend their own lives. That's like a God-given freedom that they have. So I think that we should be able to defend ourselves. That should be it. Aren't we allowed to defend ourselves? As individuals now. I mean, you know, if a man comes into my house and tries to kill my family, I have the right to defend myself, don't I? Even if that man is a member of the government? The right to defend yourself. Humanright.com. I wonder about that. What other freedoms do we have? The freedom of movement. You know, you're born, you can move, right? Can we move where we want to? Can we cross borders like we want to anymore? No, wait. No, you need to make sure you have your papers in order. And if your papers aren't in order, then you can't cross. If your papers aren't in order, then you can't cross the border. It's not our fault you can't cross the border. The paperwork we gave you is not in order. You see how that works? It's insane. If you wanted to build yourself a rocket ship and fly to the moon, could you do it? Not do you possess the math, but are you free to do that? What's to stop you from doing that? Well, there's laws. You can't just fly. Why not? Well, because there's laws. Well, I can fly, though. You know, I built this machine here. I had a dream, and it came to me, and now I built it. And I'm going to teach other people how to fly. No. That all has to be licensed. We have to control all of that. We have to control how people move. That's why there's no flying cars. We have it where people are building backyard jetpacks, and you mean to tell me that a corporation can't get a flying car off the ground? They already built large walking robots. A quadruped was built back in the 50s and 60s. They don't want to go in certain directions because they don't believe there's money there. They, them, the core political. They want to keep their workers / consumers / human resource in one place. They don't want us to be transient. They don't want us to move around a lot. They want to watch our purchase records, pay attention to our credit rating. And when the time is right, they can see whether or not we're a flight risk before they lock us into a wage slave lifetime. I just got home from work, and I've had a pretty interesting evening, let me tell you. It's Thursday right now, and it's Friday, because it's 3 in the morning, and I just had a visit from the government. You know, you hear about the government coming to visit people, and you never actually think it's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to air this tape or not. I just want to get my thoughts down for personal record later. What do you do? I feel like a rubber band's been put around my head, and I've been shot into space. I'm just I've had this recorder with me for so long now that all I can think to do is record what I'm thinking, so that I've got it. It's a lot quicker than notes, I guess, and they say you should always take notes if something drastic happens, so that you know where you stand and all the rest of it. Anyway, I was at work, and I was just walking around. This guy comes walking up to me. I thought, I was at the theater, you know, and I thought, you know, somebody was like, oh, my car got broken into or something like that. He was an older fella. He kind of looked like, he'd be like, he had like a stubbly beard, you know, like Alec Guinness style, and he was a little older, and it was gray, and he was wearing a brown sport coat and kind of an off-white shirt with a pair of casual slacks, and I'm not describing, this clothing was so incredibly nondescript, I can't even, like, to say it was brown is wrong, because it was kind of a beigey sort of color. It was very, very, anyway, he walked up to me, and I've never seen this guy before. I guarantee I've never seen this guy before. I've got a pretty good, you know, I meet a lot of people, but my family's been in show business for a long time, and although I'm crappy with names, I'm really good with faces, and I'm here to tell you I've never seen this guy before, okay? Anyway, he walked up to me, he goes, "Hi, Sean." And I just turned and I said, you know, I'm trying to, you know, do the name, face, access thing, because I'm like, oh, shit. And then I really don't know this guy, right? So he says, "Can I talk to you for a second?" And I'm like, yeah, sure, okay. You know, I'm at work, whatever. And I went walking over, and I thought, you know, the first thing I thought was violence, right? Maybe I pissed somebody off, and this guy's here for retribution, and he wants to isolate me, right? But, I mean, we're in a parking lot, okay? I'm brightly lit. I've got a radio with me. My boss is quite close by, and I'm the vice of the company, so if anything goes wrong, all I got to do is get on the radio, and I can have, you know, 10 guys in there in a matter of seconds, you know what I mean? So, he says to me, he goes, we're walking along, okay? He just walks, and he's smiling, you know? The guy's totally the most friendly-looking dude you've ever seen in your life, okay? I've got to really stress that. The guy looked like everybody's dad, all right? And he had his hands in his pockets, and he said, "So, I'm here to talk about what you're doing." And I said, "I'm sorry?" And he takes out his wallet out of his pocket and opens it up, and he gives it to me, and inside is this, you know, ID tag. And I don't know what ID looks like. I've never seen what CSIS ID looks like. But, I mean, it's I guess it was governmental. I have to get a picture. I haven't had a chance to get online yet because my connection's down right now, my Shaw connection, so there's nothing I can do. But anyhow, the guys showed me some ID and said he was with CSIS. Now, when a buddy of mine got top secret clearance when he was in the Army, I'd seen some, you know, I had a guy flash a CSIS badge in front of me before, and it looked close enough that I went, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, okay, then CSIS is here. So I thought maybe something was going on with one of my buddies or something. And and I'm like, what do you mean, what am I doing? What are you doing? He goes, well, you know, all this broadcasting you've been doing and all these things you've been saying have been freaking a lot of people out. And it was just like that. That's exactly what he said. Freaking people out, you know? And I'm like, I'm not really sure what you mean here. You mean like the rant radio thing? And is this what you're talking about, rant radio? And he goes, well, not so much that. It's just some of your ideas, or a lot of young people are listening to you, and now there's, you know, quite a few kids running around Langley with a haircut that you gave them.
And I'm like, yeah, but I'm just trying to teach people how to feel independent so they don't need to depend on source and stuff like that, you know, so they can live their own lives. You know, I'm not a terrorist or anything like that. And he goes, oh, no. No, this isn't about terrorism. And then I really started to freak out. Everything's about terrorism now. There's nothing that's not about terrorism. How could this not be about terrorism? So I'm like, what's this about then? And he goes, well, Sean, you got to understand that there's a certain amount of spiritualism that's involved with any culture. And I blinked, and I looked at him, and I said, what? He said, spiritualism is a key component of any culture, Sean. See, when we all settled this land, we destroyed the Indian spiritualism. Their culture was completely shattered. And then we fed them toxins, and we took their land. This is what the guy said to me, okay? And I'm looking at him now, and I don't know what the hell to say, because I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know what this guy's on about, but he's pretty serious, and he's talking about this like he's eating nachos. He saw that I was getting a little worried, and he started to, you know, kind of calm down a little bit. I guess how can you calm down anymore from what he already was? But he just sort of broke into a wide smile. He said, listen, Sean, I don't want you to get the wrong idea here, okay? I'm not leaning on you. I just want you to know that you've got a pretty good thing right now. You're living in that little house. You got your wife. She's got a good job running gift certificates. You're doing okay. You're doing fine. But, you know, sometimes if you make too much of a fuss, your life can get shaken up. And if it gets shook up, things may not settle where they were before, and you may not like that. And I'm like, okay, I'm being threatened by a government official, and he's doing it really good because I don't know what he wants, but right about now I'm willing to do whatever this guy wants so that he just tells me what the hell's going on. And I said, what are you talking about here? And I started to get a little angry. Now, I don't think he expected that response. You know what I mean? I don't think he expected to come up to some guy who's talking into the internet. He was expecting some dude, I guess, but, I mean, he's got to know that I had ex-military training, so I don't know why. I mean, he must have watched all my stuff. I mean, at the very least, he must have downloaded and listened to everything I was saying, so, I mean, I don't know how he expected me to react to this. Maybe he just wanted to see what I was all about, but anyway, I was like, listen, man, what are you telling me here? What do you want from me? I don't remember exactly what I said, because you can imagine it was pretty intense, and this was about an hour and a half ago, and, he said, well, Sean, who do you think's really running things? And now I don't know where the hell he's going. I'm starting to wonder if this guy's really CSIS. And he says, who do you think's running things? Who do you think's running the show here? Who do you think keeps all this in line? And I said, I don't know. He goes, that's right. You don't know. You don't know who's running the show. But you're making an awful lot of noise, and you're drawing a lot of attention. And I'm like, I'm seeing what he's doing now, and he's making the threat. And I don't know what happened at that moment. I mean, a lot of things went through my head. I thought about the gun. You know, that was the first thought. But then I realized, well, I don't even know if I realized anything. It's just like something went pop inside my head. Maybe it's the herbs, I don't know, but something happened to me. And I looked at him, and I said, what was I right about? And that one caught him off guard. He didn't expect me to start asking him interrogatory questions. And he looked at me and he said, pardon me? And I said, what am I right about? If you're going to walk up to me and you're going to tell me to stop what I'm doing and tell me to put everything that I'm doing on hold in my life, okay, I'm willing to do that, lie. I'm willing to put everything on hold if you give me one piece of information, because I can't just walk away from this empty-handed. I put too much work into it. What was I right about? What was the thing that I was right about that has you coming to me, that has the government coming to me right now? What was it? Was it the after now? Was that it? Is it because of Tariff 22? Is this because of the music sharing? Because we're getting too big? Is it because of the haircuts? Is it because of the anti-tyranny stuff? Is it because of the core political stuff? And he goes, no, Sean, I can't tell you any of that. But there's an answer out there. And I said, listen, man, don't be pulling no X-Files shit on me here. I need to know, okay? He smiled. He said, yeah, I heard your rant. But I don't suggest you, you get physical with me here, because I'll kill you. And I said, okay. And it was at that moment that I honestly, I think he, maybe he sympathized with me, I don't know, maybe it was all an act, I have no idea. But he said, you should read a book, Sean. You should read a book. And I said, what book, man? And he goes, well, it's funny. You've read a lot of, you talk a lot about Robert Heinlein, you know, but you never talk about his book, The Sixth Column. And I said, The Sixth Column? Now, Heinlein never wrote a book called The Sixth Column, not that I know about. Maybe somebody else can find it, but it's a book called The Sixth Column. And he just nodded his head. You were right about a couple of things, he said, but you were wrong about the time. And he turned to walk away from me, and I said, hey, wait a minute, man, that's... And he turned back and he said, look, you read that book, think about it a while, and then you'll know how it was that they took over. And when he said that to me, when he said they took over, I mean, his eyes, you know, it was like a 50,000-yard stare. I'd never seen eyes like that on a man. Well, that's a lie. I'd seen it on some vets. I'd seen it on soldiers. But, I mean, it was... This is something that went far beyond, you know, the law and his job and, you know, him just having to come talk to me. This guy was... He was trying to tell me something, and I know that. I mean, we were probably mic'd the whole time and all the rest of it. Maybe we weren't, you know, because... I didn't see any wires on him, and we were in a public place, and there was so much echo coming around. Maybe he had to come talk to me because the government told him to, and he was trying to communicate with me. I don't know what it is, but that's what happened, okay? And he walked away. He got inside of a car and took off. The car had government plates on it. I didn't get the numbers, but I saw that they were government plates. There's no way to run government plates anyway. In Canada, we have government plates that you can park wherever. You can park your car in the middle of an intersection. If it's got government plates, you can't move it. It was, I mean, what do you say? Where do I go from here? What do I do? Should I stop? I mean, all bullshit aside, guys, like, you know, I just got talked to by, like, an agency with an acronym instead of a name, okay? I mean, what the man in Spectral Brown? I mean, what the hell? I'm going to head to bed now. I don't want to say anything else. I mean, that's everything I remember about the incident. I'll tell you right now, I'm really happy that I found that gun. This is Sean Kennedy. It's Friday morning. I don't know what to say.
You know the problem with Hollywood is? They make shit. Unbelievable, unremarkable shit. Now, I'm not some grungy wannabe filmmaker that's searching for existentialism through a haze of bong smoke or something. Now, it's easy to pick apart bad acting, short-sighted directing, and the purely moronic stringing together of words that many of the studios term as prose. No, I'm talking about the lack of realism. Realism. Not a pervasive element in today's modern American cinematic vision. Take Dog Day Afternoon, for example. Arguably Pacino's best work, short of Scarface and Godfather Part One, of course. Masterpiece of directing, easily Lumet's best. The cinematography, the acting, the screenplay, all top-notch. But they didn't push the envelope. Now, what if in Dog Day, Sonny really wanted to get away? What if, now this is a tricky part, what if he started killing hostages right away? No mercy, no quarter. Meet our demands are the pretty blonde and the bell bottoms gets it in the back of the head. Bam, splat. What, still no bus? Come on. How many innocent victims splattered across the window would it take to have the city reverse its policy on hostage situations? And this is 1976. There's no CNN. There's no CNBC. There's no internet. Now, fast forward to today, present time, same situation. How quickly would the modern media make a frenzy over this? In a matter of hours, it would be the biggest story from Boston to Budapest. 10 hostages die. 20, 30, relentless, bam, bam, one after another. All caught in high def, computer enhanced, color corrected. Directly taste the brain matter. All for what? A bus? A plane? A couple of $1 million that's federally insured?
The next day now, I've had a little bit of time to think. You know, I went to bed last night, I woke up this morning, my wife, she got up, and I was thinking about whether or not I was going to tell her about it, you know? And I decided to wait a little bit because I didn't know how she'd react, because I know she'd freak out if she ever heard anything about anything like this. So anyway, she said that she's got plans to go shopping today and all that. So she was off. And I really had no interest in going with her and her sisters to go shopping, so I'm staying home. And I was originally going to watch a bunch of movies, but I think now I'm just going to record my thoughts and get down so that I can remember what it is that what's happening right now. You see, I got to let you guys know this is quite probably an illegal broadcast, okay? Like, what you're listening to right now is going to be considered illegal. If not now, then very soon. I don't know how they're going to make it illegal, but they're going to. I mean, they can get me by saying I'm a terrorist. They could say they could probably call me a pedophile. They could do whatever. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, somebody, it's not true, of course, but, you know, somebody could just say it, and then, you know, they whip the hype on it. Does anyone even really care what the truth is anymore? I mean, do we care if, you know, they just said, I mean, look at Michael Jackson, right? I mean, who knows if the guy really did anything, but we've all condemned him, right? I mean, just because he's weird. Well, I'm easily as weird as Michael Jackson is. You know, I mean, it's not really normal for people to go around teaching, you know, kids how to survive in a post-apocalyptic world. I guess they don't really like that. They like to make sure their children will die along with everyone else. I guess, I don't know. But anyway, this is probably an illegal broadcast. Furthermore, another decision that you need to make is whether or not you want to continue listening to these broadcasts, because it's put up or shut up time, and I don't know what the fuck to do. So I'm going to keep broadcasting anyway, because I told them I was going to give everything up, but I didn't say which everything I was going to give up. You know, I'm not going to use the banks anymore, because I think that they can track you by that, so I'm going to be running purely on cash. I'd like to create a creditless society where everything's all done on physical means. How about that for a plan? Also, as I continue to do these broadcasts, it's entirely possible that I may have to leave my wife. Not divorce my wife, get away from her so that she's not caught in the crossfire. I love my wife dearly, and I will stay with her as long as I can. But I'm not going to tell her anything about what is happening, and when it happens, her ignorance will keep her safe. I don't want to be given a time and date anymore on where I'm at. I don't know whether or not I'm going to be given GPS grids. I mean, if it's feasible for me, so I can give those who are paying attention the date and time and all that, I will, but they can track me by that. So, right now, it's the next day, and I'm sitting down getting something to eat, and I'm thinking about what's going on. And really, it's a gut check for me, isn't it? I mean, you know, hey, Sean, are you going to keep just being a little rant radio guy, you know, and all these kids, you know, they listen to India and stuff like that? Well, you're 30-something now, so are you going to stop now? Are you going to give it up? You're just going to be like, well, guys, it was fun, but I've got life to live. You know, I've got things to do. That's what I always say. You know, I got things to do. Like what? You know, breed, procreate, crank out a couple of pups and make sure we got some more consumers? Is that what I'm supposed to do? No, I don't think I'm up for that. I'm sorry. Looking at the whole thing here, I just, I think it's time to kick it up a notch. I really do. I mean, I must be doing something right because I'm promoting change. And if I'm not promoting change, then why'd the government come talk to me? You know? So, if they want me to just curl up my toes and quit, they better find themselves another pussy, because this particular pussy isn't going to play ball. So, I guess I'm going to become some kind of pirate media source, I guess. I'm going to keep getting these tapes. I'm recording this onto an audio cassette tape. You know how easy it is to get an audio cassette tape to somebody? I mean, unless they start magnetizing all our mail so we can't communicate by audio tape. It's fast, quick, easy. I can record it anywhere, and I can get the truth back to you people. I don't know how far it's going to go. I really don't. But we can't just lie down. I can't just stop. I can't just quit, you know? It's either going to have to kill me or they're going to have to try. But they better pack a lunch because, well, let me tell you, having this gun nearby really makes me feel safe, you know? Because if somebody came into my house and said was going to try to take me out, I don't care what kind of logos they're wearing. They're getting shot. I don't care if you're a cop. I don't care if you're a government official. I don't care if you're the neighbor. Shit, I don't even care if you're my mom. You come into my house and you're trying to kill me, you're going to get shot. And I think everybody has the right to defend themselves. And if you don't agree with that, well, you know, I guess you might want to stay tuned, because boy, am I ever going to entertain the hell out of you with all my ghastly deals. But I am not going to let myself or my family die. It's just not going to happen. So, what do I do now? I'm probably going to lose my job as a security guard. Maybe somehow I'll be able to make money with Rant Radio or something. Because if they take away my job as a security guard, I'm pretty much pooched. I got no source of income. I'm not going to go work for Starbucks. I can't go work for Walmart. Could you imagine? Hi, my name's Sean Kennedy. Welcome to Walmart. Oh, my God. I mean, it would kill me. This is the problem with being part of the counterculture. So I guess right now I'm a part-time security guard and a part-time pirate media source. Well, pirate's not really. Pirate's too close to terrorist. What do we want to use? Independent. Independent and pirate, same thing. So I'm an independent media source. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll give out all the information I can to you guys as media. And I'll, well, actually, I can't give it to you because giving implies that I've transferred possession. So I guess I'll tell you about it. You can get information from me. I'll be like a library. Well, actually, I'd be a librarian. So I'm an independent librarian. Yeah. Yeah, fucking rights, man. That's what I am. That's what everyone who's got peer-to-peer is. That's what file sharing is. If you're file sharing, you're just an independent librarian. That's all you are. I mean, think about it. What do? You hear something. If I heard a song and I sang it to another person, okay, I carried that tune. I violated a copyright law. When you break it down that far, it's a thought crime. If you sing a song to me, if Johnny Cash sang a song to me when he recorded it, okay, and I went outside and I sang that song again to a crowd of people who were waiting, and they recorded it, and it was a decent quality, and it was comparable, and I did a good job of it, then I've just committed piracy or plagiarism. I mean, you copied him. Yeah, well, I gave him credit. Yeah, but you made money from it. Well, no, I didn't. I just gave it to other people. There's no money changing hands. Why is it a sin to speak? Oh, freedom of expression. And then the right to bear arms. I guess the Second Amendment takes care of the first. I gotta give it to these guys who came up to me, though. I don't know if it was CSIS or not, but I guess I'm gonna use you guys as a sounding board for what I'm doing, alright? Hope you don't mind, but I'm gonna let you know what my plans are. And then through the email and the forums, I can, without responding, you know what I mean? The forums are probably the best place because, my email is eventually going to be shot, but as long as Rant Radio stays up and the forums are there, I should be able to receive information from that, feedback from people, advice, whatever. Well, here's my logic so far. See if you guys can keep up with this, all right? I guess we got an organization that is out to destroy me, and it must be fairly powerful because, well, no, what do we have? What do we have? We have a guy who walked up to me with a badge, and I never saw a gun. So we have a guy, this could be just some crazy fan for all I know. I don't think so. He was driving a car with military plates on it. So you can't just find those, okay? Those are pretty hard to come by. So he was somehow involved with the government. I mean, I saw the car. So the question is who's in charge? He didn't even tell me who was in charge. He just said I should read that sixth column book by Heinlein. Because my internet connection's down.
I cannot get online to check it. And the wife isn't home, so I don't have the car. It's pretty funny, actually. You know, I've noticed that industry tries to make you dependent upon their services. Don't own things. You just log into us and give it to us, right? But you got to ask yourself, like, you're not going to have an internet connection forever, you know? What are you going to have when the internet turns off? What if they shut it off? That's their... If they can't control it, you can bet they're going to destroy it. So have you got enough data amassed? Have you got enough data in your own library to keep, you know, keep yourself entertained, to keep yourself going? Because if you don't, you should probably think about that. Storage is cheap. We may as well have a data dump for the equipment we use. Now, so we got a government organization of some type. But it's got to be a shadow organization, otherwise they would have had the cops pull up and grab me. So this means that the police are not in on it, otherwise they would have just hauled me down to the police station and really put the fear of God into me. Now this guy's pulling some of this espionage secret spy stuff, and they're probably nursing to the fact that I'm a bit of a conspiracy guy. But if they want to play mental chess with me, that's fine, because, you know, the guy who taught me how to play chess was, Miyamoto Musashi. Chess with Miyamoto Musashi. Yeah. So that's fine. Balls deep. I'm going to stop using my cards. Cards are useless, okay? I'm going to start ditching those. I'm going to start dealing with raw cash. I'm going to make sure I got my passport so I can move if I need to. And furthermore, I better make sure I get my hands on a vehicle. Because at the end of the day, it's how well you can move around. What does it do? How well can it do it, right? So I'll have to get myself probably a truck or a 4x4 or maybe a car I can jack up that's got some good speed on it. Get kind of road warrior with the whole thing. But, hang on now. What if this guy was just an independent individual? What if this organization... See, they want to be... They're shadowy, right? Cause, so that I can use that against them, I think. Yeah, that makes sense. Because if I can expose them, then... wait a minute. That's why they didn't pull me down to the police station. It's because of you guys. You see, if I was all of a sudden up and vanish, if I just disappeared, well, you guys would stop getting the shows, wouldn't you? You wouldn't be able to listen to this anymore. So they can't really just grab me and make me disappear because we'd be way too many people asking questions. So they figure they put the fear in me. So they have the guy drop down, tell me to stop, and they think that I'm not serious about this. They think I'm just hokey because they know that I got a wife, a little house. They know I came from a bad background. You know, grew up pretty much in poverty. So they're going to expect me now, because they threaten my household and my family, you know, indirectly, to just curl up my toes. They're forgetting building C4. If any of you guys ever get a chance to talk to Hammer face-to-face, you should ask him about building C4. It was where the old Sean Kennedy died and the new Sean Kennedy was born. That was a place where they'd be put us through a course called Battle School, and it damn near killed me. I guess it did in some senses. I mean, I was destroyed as a human being afterwards. But you see, the strength I got from that is that the heart kept beating no matter how hard I tried to stop it. And I kept breathing even though I tried to not do that anymore. So I'm stronger now. And because of the way I live with my bags, with my kit, with my AWOL bag, and making sure everything's categorized, I can drop everything and haul ass at the drop of a hat. My wife doesn't know shit. She doesn't even know I'm taking these Chinese herbs. So that's fine. That's fine. If it comes down to that, all I gotta do is get to my bags and I'll be fine. I'll just take to the road. Who gives a shit? I can, I'll forward tapes back to Sim, and he can get them out to the people. Not a problem. Furthermore, if I start letting out grids, I bet you there's one or two of you out there who don't talk on the internet. There's people out there who download this who, if I was to give a grid, they could probably meet me and make sure I got the supplies I need. Just some food and some water. I don't want any money. Well, no more than $20 at least. I mean, if you're walking around with a great sum of money, isn't that funny? If you walk around with no money, physical cash on you, and no identification, it's a crime. As long as you look okay and you stay in suburbia, you can do that. But why don't you put on a pair of blue jeans that are clean, a white t-shirt, okay, and a jean jacket or a flight jacket. Just a flight jacket, like a military flight jacket, okay? So you got blue jeans, white t-shirt, flight jacket on, and go walking around some area that you're not familiar with, or that you are familiar with, like some area you're not normally seen, you know what I'm saying? Like, so if you don't go to the mall, go to the mall.
Okay, but the mall is actually back because there's crowds there, but just outside. Don't go to the mall. Bad idea. Like, go walk down a street or walk in around a public place or around some industrial buildings or anything like that. Just walk around outside. And eventually people come up and say, what are you doing here? I say, I'm walking here. I'm free to walk around here. Do you have any ID? No. You don't have ID on you? No. Why do I need my papers with me? I'm walking around. I'm free. No, 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 no. They'll ask you to leave. And if you try to stop them from telling you to leave, you'll go to jail. That's how severe it is. How did that happen? How asleep were we at the wheel to allow that to happen in our country? It doesn't make sense. So I guess I better walk around with some cash anyway, because if I don't, then, well, I'm screwed. I feel kind of weird about the whole thing because I don't really feel that bad about it. I mean, seriously, when you step back and look at it and say, hey, Sean, you spent the last 10 years building a counterculture movement. Now the government's trying to shut you down. You're walking around, you got a loaded gun, which I keep with me now, by the way. I highly suggest investing in a shoulder rig. I would walk around with a drop leg holster, but unfortunately, well, that draws a lot of undue attention. But, well, Eagle Industries, there's any number of company makes a really nice shoulder rig. Or actually, what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to get design myself up a vest that I can use that has a concealable like in the trimal plating in the front. You can conceal holsters in there and stuff like that. Be a good idea just to have a concealed weapon on you like that in case, well, for where it's going now, I mean, all bets are off now. Really, coming up and talking to me was the dumbest thing they could have done because, I mean, what, did you think I was kidding? Do you think I was, like, what kind of a person lives on IMPs, stockpiles kit in his house, and then tries to win the hearts and minds of youth by promoting independent thought? I mean, on one angle, yeah, they probably came up and talked to me because it's effective. There's over 250 kids running around Langley. That's what they said in the Langley Times, anyway. 250 kids are running around Langley with log cuts now. I mean, you'd think they'd be happy about that, right? Clean cut. Good kids, not race-specific, not gender-specific. There's even a few girls sporting wog cuts. I always wondered, you know, if they were going to try to nail me with a race card for the whole thing, because it looks kind of, you know, like, well, it's close to being a skinhead, so that's the same thing, right? Well, it's also close to being, you know, Mohican, so does that make me an Indian? Like, no, it's just a haircut, guy. Get a grip. And since I give it to everyone who shows up, those meetings are going to get harder to hold now, because if they know where I'm going to be at a set time, they're just going to show up and put me in a car. Especially since I've kicked it up a notch. I don't know what they expected me to do when they threatened my family like that, but I guess they weren't expecting me to start talking to you over the tapes. I need you folks to really pay attention over the next, oh Christ, 2 years? The next 2 years are looking scary. I don't know what's going to come down the pipe. I think there's a lot of distraction happening, and we're not keeping our heads up. We're not watching the skies, you know? I mean, what's coming at us that we don't see? What does the government know about that's you know, going to pass by us that we don't know about? That's where the real question is, you know? Is there something going on that we don't know about? Is there a reason why we need this war on terror? Because, I mean, if this thing is engineered, and the whole thing is, you know, state-sponsored and all that, they got a reason for doing it. It's not just to take control. All right, you got control. Now, why do you want that control? Is there something coming down the pipe? There's so much crap that has happened that has global implications within the last couple of years. The weather is changing like you wouldn't believe. We can't deny that, guys. I know we got to go outside. And we don't spend any time outside, but trust me, the weather is changing, guys. There's blizzards all over the world. Yellowstone National Park, they've shut it down. It's been shut down for a while now. They're estimating a massive explosion. It's supposed to hit in September. I mean, guys, something's going on. You know what I mean? Like, we can't be messing around anymore. We got to make sure that we survive, I guess. Survivalism isn't just for, you know, these psychos who live out in Montana. This is something all of us can do as wogs, as people. I mean, I don't know. The mentality of it is that I guess at the end of the day, you got to make sure you can get up, breathe, keep breathing. Get up, breathe, keep breathing. That's it. And as long as you can do that, you can make up your own mind. So I'm not trying to, well, I'm trying to talk about freedom and letting people make their own decisions. And then I'm going to let you make your own decision. I mean, everyone needs friends, but I've got a lot of friends. So if you don't like me, that's okay. Just don't try to kill me or nothing, all right? And I won't try to kill you. It's all fine. But I guess the government doesn't feel that way, so they're going to try to take away my house, my family, and everything else. And I'm not the first person they've done it to. You know, that's the funny part, is now that it's actually happening to me, it's so apparent. Like, imagine if the government came to you, you know, and did this to you, and you tried to tell people that, what do you suppose their response would be? Well, you know, you've been doing a lot of crazy stuff listening to that music. I mean, look at how you're dressing now, man. You're wearing those combat pants all the time. You got those t-shirts with the happy face with that bullet hole on it. That's not normal. That's not a healthy thing to do. That's not right. Well, now I guess they're just going to side with the government, right? I'm not one of the usual sheep, so I guess I'm going to get stuffed inside of some dark hole somewhere, and they're going to cut me off from the media, let me stop talking to people. All I'm doing is talking now. Talking into a cassette recorder. Am I that dangerous? I guess I must be. But they don't think I am. So the gray man there who came up to me and talked to me, Mr. Nondescript, Mr. I'm going to fade into the background. You're probably going to listen to this recording right now. I told you I was going to stop, man. I'm going to stop being a member of your society. I'm going to go completely on the outside. If you guys think that you're all going to, you know, bug my phones and all the rest of it, you got to remember who you're dealing with, boys. I've been reading about counterculture and surveillance and counter-surveillance and hacker motif since the dawn of time. And don't forget, you can't track WOGs. We don't allow ourselves to be put into a database. We don't identify ourselves. WOGs are everywhere. You can't stop us, man. There's probably people in the room with you right now after listening to all my media who agree with what I say and are themselves WOGs, and you don't even know it. So if you want to get me, you want to, you know, tie me down, you want to take away my family, all the rest of it, come get some. I'll be waiting. My name is Sean Kennedy, independent librarian, and I am the fucking man.